The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Of Jesus. Yes, Jesus said a lot of tough things, but they are more than likely almost always for our learning. And we're a creature at times that we don't like to be obedient to His word. So it's kind of tough, some of the things Christ said. But remember this, it's for our good, it's for our benefit. And more than anything, folks, brothers and sisters, is for our eternal life we're headed to. Right now we're in boot camp, being trained up in the things of God to be ready for our eternal celestial body. Amen? So I'll be speaking out of Luke chapter 8. The topic for my sermon will be, don't get choked. Don't get choked. Yes, Jesus said it. Not me. I picked it right out of the scripture. I will be emphasizing mainly this morning out of, but I chose Luke 8:11-15. Luke 8:11-15. Let me find my place. I have it marked. And also, I got new glasses. I wanted to show off this word. There we go. Now I can read. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 to 15 reads like this. I will be reading out of the NIV translation. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Fill this room, fill our hearts, smother us with your presence. Speak to us, as Chris said. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us clearly. Open our ears, open our hearts, and open our spirit to be in tune with you this morning. We thank you for the great things you've done, you do, and that you're going to do. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I chose this topic, don't get choked, simply because there's a lot of things in life that we all face daily, and they'll tend to choke us up. They'll tend to slow us down. They'll tend to discourage us. They'll tend to not let us move forward in Christ, in our lives. And things are going to come at us daily. And Jesus, I love this verse because he said it so clearly right in the text of verse 14. It's right there. I like what he said. It's right there. They will choke you because we worry. We put things, pleasures, self first, and we will be choked up. And what I want to talk about today is trusting God, trusting Christ in our lives. And a lot of times we tend to put him second or third. We need to trust, my friends. We need to trust. We need to pray. I spoke with a good friend this morning and he shared with me, some of you might know the story. I didn't know this took place this week. A bus, I believe, I have my story right, from Hopeville team, going up to San Diego, hit some black ice, slid, went over. From what I know, no one got hurt. They prayed before they left. They trusted in the Lord. They said, okay, let's leave, but you know what? Let's pray first. We need to get in the habit of trusting prayer as well, that God's going to be with us, that he's always with us. It doesn't stop there. Thursday, myself, personal story at work. I go to open my warehouse. I run in, run out. I come back a second time later that morning. I have to slide open this security fence gate that's 14 feet tall, 14 feet long. And I've always walked through it, slid it open, walked in, closed it, because there's important chemicals. No one can go in there. Maybe myself or be asked if they can come in. So this Thursday morning, I got up extra early for some reason. God knows, he woke me up early, so I prayed extra that Thursday morning. I didn't know why, but I prayed. And I prayed a protection over myself. I always pray for protection at work because I work around a lot of dangerous chemicals and tanks or what have you. So anyways, long story short, I walk in, slide the gate open, and I take like four steps, and I hear like a wind coming behind me, and I tend to look out of the corner of my eye, and I duck a little, and this huge gate coming at me full board just fell. It just came out of its track, and kind of froze here. It missed me like by an inch off my temple. It would have knocked me out cold, like I told that person earlier, would have killed me. I really think it would have killed me. It was just coming, huge gate. Bam, it just stopped right here. And the first thing I thought, I took one more step and said, thank you, God. I trusted him. We need to pray. We need to trust God's going to do it. Amen? And in the Bible, we're exhorted over and over. Exhortations were told over and over and over and over and over again to trust in the Lord. I didn't do the count check as some Bible studies on the internet where you look up the word, the count check tells you how many times it's mentioned in the Bible. I believe it was somewhere over 1,000 times. To trust in the Lord. We're exhorted over and over. Why? I believe Jesus was so right because he also called us sheep. Sheep are pretty not intelligent animals. We can be like sheep, right? We forget. We get in a hurry. We forget to trust. We get venged up or venged up, whatever that proper word is. I have a Spanish word. We get corajudo, which means we get angry. With me, even learning some Spanish, I get to be serious. But I was all angry. Oh. See, but if you're prayed up and you're trusting Christ, some of those things can slide off. Some of those things can come into fruition. But if you're only praying in God's will and trusting Him, that's why we're told over and over. But what does trust mean? What does trust mean? I'll tell you what trust doesn't mean. It doesn't mean to be careless or indifferent. It is not worrying or fearing or impatient. Oh, it's going to be okay. It'll all work out. The Lord's got this. Sorry, my friends. It doesn't work that way sometimes. He's not going to put it in your lap. He wants us to get up and go work for it. He's just not going to drop it in your lap. We got to get down in the trenches and trust him and work for it. Some of you have new jobs. Some of you have had your job for years now. Did you get there very easily? No, it took tough work, and you worked at it. Companies or your position. You know, like I've told you before, I've been moving up in my position, but because I'm there to work. I see a lot of guys just kind of goofing around, even wanting me to join in. I come out and laugh and walk away. I got things to do. Sorry. You can talk and blow your messing around. I'm out of here. It takes work. Same thing in our Christian life with the Lord. But it's not just, okay, it's going to be okay. No, it's not. You got to get in the trenches. You got to get down there and pray and trust God's going to change that environment, your situation, your position, your place in life and time right now. And it's not going to be easy. These are tough sayings. And I love this topic. Guys, thank you. It's right up my alley. I've shared with some of you, I've tried to come up with nice messages. This is what I get, because it convicts me first, and I need to apply it as I study it. It wakens me up, and I say, yes, I need to work with this, and in this, and I need to share it now. That's how God works, and He does the same thing with you. People are watching your walk, your faith in Christ, and how much you trust your God. Some of us, our God's that little. I serve an immense God that doesn't fit in the universe we can't even fathom. You serve a huge God. Don't doubt Him. I understand doubting and worrying and fears are part of our lives. It's our nature. But then again, that's our sin nature, like I said last time. I was up here. There's rot in us, but it's okay. Christ renews that. And our strength is renewed through our trust in God and in Jesus Christ and in His Word and in applying it and in living it and sharing it. Don't be like a tick that's just sponging in words and swelling up. You're going to just be like those big ticks on dogs that just pop. Gotta get it out. Live it, apply it, share it. People I know, they pastor him. You're going through this hard thing. You still got a little sparkle to you. You still got a little spunk. What is it? Turn around and say, smile, it's Jesus. He slept through a storm. The disciples thought they were going to drown. It's not on my note, but Jesus were drowning here. They had the audacity to not trust in the King of Majesty, of glory, is there in the boat with them. Jesus is right there with us in the boat as well. Don't forget He's with you. Don't doubt. Don't worry. Confide. Be courageous. Trust in His Word. Amen? Trust is just not drifting with the tide. Trust does not neglect. Trust is something positive. Because some of us get winded or sidetracked by the things of the world, friends, things we're looking at or listening to, things people are feeding us and believing it. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Is that one up there? Ephesians chapter 4, look. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, growing up in Christ, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that means getting a relationship with Christ and His Word, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. There it is. Some of us can be big babies, and I'm one of them. Oh, I'm scared. I can't preach, Jeremiah. Can you do it next Sunday? Thank you, Jeremiah. That's true. He'll tell you. I was supposed to speak last Sunday. I was a little hurt and I was tired. But you know what? I have to be transparent. I'll tell you this. When I was drunk and hungover the next day, I didn't hesitate to go do it again. All sick. Oh, yeah, let's go party some more, man. Why can't I do it for Christ now? With a clear conscience and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. In me. Amen? That's what I grab onto now, the trust of Christ and what He did on the cross and what His Word says. I'm trusting Him now. Me and my wife, when she was still here, we believed and trusted she was going to heal up one day. She battled cancer 4 years. Daily we prayed. Daily we believed it. But God had other plans. He chose to take her home. Praise the Lord. Now I got to keep trucking forward. What example would I be to you in your times of suffering? Oh, Frank just sat down. He doesn't want to preach. He's not even in church anymore. He's doing his own thing. Oh, I guess I'll do it too. That's not a good thing, folks. And I'm saying this, and I boast in Christ. You see the power of God working in me, through you, for you. Us pastors, Jeremiah and Jerry, they're being used. They're going through stuff too. We're human too. But we are to be transparent and flow into your life so you flow into other lives. And just to hopefully wake you up here real quick, this is not in my notes, wake up to this. You're going to struggle. You're going to have battles. But you trust. You trust in the Lord. Trust does not mean just shoving the true facts out of our vision. We know that our child or our marriage is in shambles and just say, we're going to get this. No, you got to work at it. You got to seek help. You got to trust God and look for godly men and women to help you through it. You're not alone. I'm not but when we're kind of alone, she works all night and work all day. The house is always alone. Pots are cold and the webs are thick. Not kidding. She cleans and I help a little. But we're not alone. Friend, whatever you're facing right now, you're not alone. Trust me. No, wait a minute. I take it back. Erase that. Trust Jesus. He's with you. He's with me. You see Jesus right here. I've been through some stuff, man. And I love getting up here to tell you what God does and can do and will always do. But you need to trust. You need to stop for a second and give him some time. Trust looks at things and faces the facts for what they are. When we really fear, we nullify God. When you're fearing, you're putting God out of the picture. He's coming second or third. Fear will weaken you. Fear will paralyze you spiritually and sometimes physically. Because in your fear, you say, you know what? I am done. I'm sick of it. That's as far as I go. I'm out of here. That's it. Fear will do that. It's not always a fear like, well, I'm afraid you're going to do it. No. There's all kinds of fears. And fear will just cripple you, man. And your Christians is going off in a wheelchair with crutches. I wanted to get in a wheelchair when I went through my losses of loved ones in my family. This year, last year, you know, 12. I wanted to get on those crutches and have people have empathy and sympathy for me. But I said, no, you know what, Lord, you call me to lead. You call me to speak. Help me to be an example to the congregation and to my mentors that teach alongside of me. They were sharpening me as I sharpened them. We are iron sharpening iron. Trust. Trust. Fear is tormenting. It'll constantly agitate and eat at you. You know, there's people, many people, that fear these things. They fear the devil. They fear temptations. They fear the wind, lightning bolts, burglars, you name it. We all have some kind of fear. I used to have those kind of fears. Earthquake would hit. Oh, God, I'm going to die. Well, praise God. Remember that earthquake we had? Who ran? Nobody ran. Some of us as parents had to go console our children, make sure they're okay. But I'll say, okay, Lord, here we are. You're going to catch us at a good time in church. I love to go in on worship. You know how to... church got, Remnant got huge. Wow, where did all they come from? Seek that glory. There's that trust. Grab onto that as anything. Guys, we're going to roll up this tent one day, all of us. Be it tragic, be it nice, be it going to sleep, or be it however, God knows. But if your trust is in Christ, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We need to trust Jesus because fear will weaken us. See, for all these weaknesses and battles we face, trust is the cure. And I don't mean when you're trusting this way that you're never going to fear anything. We're going to fear moments. It's going to happen. But trust will bring us to the consciousness that the Lord knows and cares, and He is right there with us. So how do we learn not to fear? How do we learn not to doubt? How do we learn to keep going and trust in God? I will tell you how you stop. How many of you drive and have a driver's license? Raise your hand, please. Probably the whole room. Okay, put it down. How many of you, when you come up to the stop sign, you come in, a complete stop, raise your hand. I don't. Not all the time. I'm not going there. This is my point. Every time you see that stop sign, hopefully and prayerfully, as I will pray for you as a congregation, that when you come up to the stop sign starting today, you're going to remember what we talked about. I'm going to break it down into an acronym form for each letter and how to trust God. We're going to start with the first letter in the stop sign, S. How do you learn to trust God? We need to surrender all to the Lord. We need to surrender. What does it look like? What does surrender look like? I wrote it down in Psalms 112, verse 7. This is Psalms 112, verse 7. This is what surrendering to the Lord and trusting in the Lord will do. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Do we have that kind of courage? Do we have that kind of faith? See, we will have bad news at times. And things will come at us. But if your faith and your passion and your walk with Christ is growing and getting stronger and solid, and you know that Christ is there, you're not going to fear. You're going to know it's God working. And even as ugly as it gets, we didn't understand why my wife had to fight cancer for 4 years when she turned from this beautiful woman that I met years back into this, she was just torn up. She, the one didn't understand, but she gave it to God. And it was through my wife that my courage and walk with Christ and trust got stronger, because she showed me through her suffering that she knew where she was going. And she trusted Christ no matter what the outcome or where her day would end. That was amazing to me. That was a learning for me. So that's when I learned to start to surrender everything. So I surrendered my life. I have surrendered my job. I have surrendered friendships. I've handed you over to God. There's people sometimes we don't get along with, or you're struggling with, a worker, be it your dad, an uncle, a nephew, a niece, a grandchild. Give them to the Lord. Surrender Him and you move on. You keep your eyes on Christ. You keep trusting and surrendering all to Jesus. Trust Him. He is always there. So the first form of the stop sign acronym is surrender. What is the next letter in the stop sign? T. T in stop sign. What does that stand for? It means to trust and to be thankful. Thankful. 1 Thessalonians says this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. To be thankful, it says this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Because people have told me, Frank, what do you mean? Where's God? I can't trust God right now. I don't see God. Well, hello, Frank. You're not going to see Him. Don't you see God? But you will see His handiwork soon enough. The more you believe, the more you trust, the quicker you will see Him move in your life. But when we're putting Him second and third, He's not going to move. Have you ever prayed this? Have you ever prayed, God, because it's scriptural. It's in the Old Testament. Say, God, move your hand, move your mighty right hand right now for me in this situation. That's a prayer. Because some of us can always complain or have the excuse of, Frank, I don't know how to pray. And I don't have words. I pull them from the Bible. When I need something moved out of my way, or I'm facing a giant or a trial, God, bring your right hand. And because He said it, let me move my right hand. And see that I want to do a wonder before you. But you know what the problem is? We're putting our right hand. I got this. Get out of here. Stop. Our right hand's all over the place. All over the way. Oh, you did. Or just. Wrong right hand. Lick God's hand. Call His hand to move. He also said, stand still and know that I am God. Don't fight it. Just stand still. And he always does the battle. He's ahead of us. This is not in my text. It just came. Moses told God, where are you? I want to see you. He was in the earthquake, the fire, the storm. He was in the middle of all this noise. And God says, I will let you see the back of my glory. I was discussing this with the guy at work because he didn't understand why God didn't show his front side. First of all, if he did see his front side, you'd die. He's so holy, he's so majestic, his splendor. We just, wow! Have you ever seen somebody going, wow? I mean, your heart starts pumping like, that is, did you see that? God's like a million times if you saw Him that. You just died, you're dead. Because He's so holy, we're not ready in this body yet. He's preparing us. But we need to trust and make that grow. So when we transit into the celestial, we're going to see, wow, God, You are so immense. There's everybody. Wow, nice mansion. Thank You, Jesus. I got that one. He's building a house for us. But see, it's going to take that trust. God is there. God is there. Give thanks in all circumstances. Always be thankful. Even for those hard moments. It's weird. I've said this, and I'll say it like a broken record every chance this topic comes up. Me and my wife at one time were thrown out of our house and brawling, and I went and prayed. That night, the landlord came back to me now, ASAP, I want my house back. I told her she cried all night to sleep. I woke up, went straight to my living room, turned on some worship, prayed and cried for about 10 minutes. And one of my friends from El Centro, old home's here, I called and called me, friend, you're crying, long story short, but I have a house for you, just come with me. I have a house. Just come with me. As weird as it was, I was saying, God, crying and scared, in the earthquake and wind like Moses, thank you for throwing me out. Thank you, we have nowhere to go, and hopefully the car makes it to El Centro, and I can find a trailer, and my two little 10 and 8-year-olds at the time can help me move these humongous parts of my house, boxes and stuff. And it happened. It happened in one weekend. And I didn't even have to pay anything to get it. Trust in the middle of the worst time, and you'll see God's hand. And at that time, I hadn't learned that scripture where it says, move your right hand. I just told him the truth. I said, thank you, God, you threw us out. As great as that sounds. But see, that's where trust grows. See, we're not going to become strong Christians and firm believers when all the good things happen. You know why? Because when all the good things are going on, are we really thinking about God? Not really, huh? Not all the time. Mom. Only when it goes bad, oh God, where are you? Come on, Jeannie, I need you right now. Yeah. He's not a genie. He's not a microwave. You know, I have to say this. Technology is taking off finally like a rocket. Now there's the i5 and all these other phones that are faster. Oh, I read the commercial I saw 4 seconds ago. Fast technology. I know a connection line that's faster than anything you'll ever find or ever be created. It's God. He's always ready to be connected. He's always ready right there. There's not a hair of a second to wait. You talk to him, he hears you. But he will answer you on the basis of how strong your faith is and how you're following him and your trust in him. Are we sometimes just serving him or really depending on him or thinking about him? Or are we thinking on other things before him and then kind of thinking about him throughout the day or sometimes? You always need to think about Jesus. You always need to think on heavenly things. You always need to think positively that things are going to be into fruition in his will. You need to think positive, not negative. Always. And I know it's hard, but I can practice it. You can see. Some of these guys, my pastor friends, have gone to the bathroom. And they walk in here and they're something like, what to do? Man, I want some of that. Well, I want to know. Hey, Jared, some of them, they don't normally hug. I hug them. They have no idea I want some of that. God is good, guys. He'll never leave us. He's right there working in us. He's still working in me. I've been following Jesus 13 years. And I never want to let go. I want to be like that woman that was bleeding. If by the hem of his garment I can hold him, I will drag him. Let's go, Jesus. Did it go? Wow, that one hurt, but it's okay. I'm going to let go. Remember Isaac when he was wrestling an angel? He was wrestling Jesus. Let me go. Not until you bless me. But he blessed him. But he came out with a new walk, a new name, and a new life. Sometimes you're going to come out looking funny, but there's going to be a big blessing up there. Good things are up ahead. It's going to be foggy at times, but you keep plowing. When you go through the fog, you throw on your bright lights or you lower your lights? You lower your lights, right? Tell yourself, you just hold on. He'll see you through it. He'll always see you through it if you trust him constantly, not just sometimes. Don't treat him like a genie. Trust him all the time. Teenagers in school, trust him that your grades will come up. Trust him that those friends that are giving you a hard time, that you'll move them out of the way. Those kids that probably pick on you or your grades aren't doing good or I don't like teachers now in elementary high school either. But I don't know teachers. But they kicked me out. I thought of it. But don't want to stay in school. Christ will see you through that college or career. I never thought I'd be where I'd be, being a minister and holding a high position at my company. God will exalt the humble, those that trust in him. fight all these falls. Pride's going to come down. You're going to fight it. You're going to be like that untamed horse. Get off of me. I got this. No, you're not. God's going to bring his right arm without you praying and put it on you. He's done it to me. Again, broken record, same story. As my wife came back home, I felt like dirt coming back into my house. But it worked for me. Because I surrendered it all. I started being thankful. And what does the O can stand for in stop time? Now the O. Trust is to be obedient. Everything I just said. You need to surrender. Okay, you're giving your life to the Lord now. Then you thank him, whatever he's giving you or taking away. Because he's taking away things out of my life. For whatever reason, be it a loved one, be it things, be it positions, be it friends, be it churches. But he's always doing a good thing, so I'm being thankful. Now I need to be obedient. And this is the hard part for all of us as humans. Because I know all of you in this room don't like to be told what to do sometimes. Me, throw that trash. I'm getting later. Playing a video game. Yeah, honey, I'll get it right now. Watch football. Yeah, honey, dinner's almost ready. And you know what? And so and so, but goes on and on. Yeah, mom, I'm all done with my homework. Anyway, let me text you again. We need to be obedient. Obedient. And this is the verse I found for obedience. It's found in 2 Corinthians 2:9. 2 Corinthians 9 says this, the reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Be obedient in everything. This scripture is between a story that Paul is writing to his disciples at the time that they weren't forgiving people or they were facing things they didn't want to forgive. And we need to forgive everyone's sins. Remember this, folks, as Christians, this is biblical. As Christians, we can only judge or come, rebuke, correct, extol this someone else, in another believer. If they don't know Christ or they're a non-believer, you can't judge them. You've got to only pray for them and love them regardless. I had that other argument this week as well with another co-worker. He always walks in the office and says, driver's driving me crazy and I want to wring his neck. And I know, I tell him, I see how he acts, how he treats you. You're his upper and he's under you and he wants to rule over you and it's all position. And I tell him, look friend, you can't be telling me things about me. If you want to talk about it, let's go confront him face to face. Let's not talk behind his back. Let's confront the situation and love him. Maybe he needs Jesus. Maybe he's at that point of receiving Christ. We don't know what that person's going through. See? But if it's a non-believer, we cannot judge them. We need to pray for them and try to minister to them even through our response, our actions, our life. Amen? That's what it's saying there. Be obedient. And it's hard. It's tough sometimes. And the last point, the T. Oh, I'm sorry. God spells you. I didn't write it. It'll be stop time. That's the word stop time. Stop. Sorry, I'm trying to see the stop time. Well, he's going to throw it out. That was my past. To practice. Stop. So you've already surrendered. Following Christ. And being thankful. Even the things you're sounding weird saying. Thank you that I lost this job. But I know you have no hope for me. I'm obedient to you. I'm going through a tough thing here with this person or this job or this situation. I don't want to go through with it, but I'm going to go through with it. I'm going to trust you. Now, all you got to do is practice. What do I mean by practice? This is Jesus' tough stage in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine must put them into practice. That, again, is my favorite text because, again, I've said it up here many times. If you read Matthew from chapter 5 all the way to here, Matthew 7, where it ends, it's all of the attitudes, it's all in written, it's all where Jesus is talking of the things we need to practice as followers of Christ, of those that will trust Christ, and of those that are going to choose to follow and surrender to Jesus. All of you. But practice what? Again, you Bible scholars, if you read chapter 5 through 7, it talks about not having other gods. You go through the commandments. Loving others as yourself. You practice these things. He wants us to practice to love our enemies. I'll say it again, my boss is tough. But I know he's a fair, righteous man. And I pray for him every day. And guess what? Me and my second in command boss, which is the second manager there, he's a Christian man, good friend of mine. He's the main boss is starting to ask more biblical questions, more God questions. Just like my older atheist brother to ask me questions. Why? Because we listen is to be humble. Show them trust Christ and be one in them. Trust is the key. You know, I didn't share this, but in that text, verse 14 of Luke 8 that we opened up with, the word choke, you know what it's pronounced like this in the Greek. Sumi ego. Sumi ego. That's the Greek for choke. That's the word Jesus used. You know what it really means? It means to crowd in something that gets in your way. Something that's going to not let you be who you are to the point that it changes your identity and you forget who you really are and you're being more like them or the situation. It starts to suffocate you and spiritually you choke. So many people to crowd in or move out of the way to the point to change your identity. Listen, friend, your identity is in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive them in your heart as your Lord and Savior, you are a new creature. You're a new creation. So Christ lives in you now. You're to be practicing what he said. Are we going to nail it to the T? No. But what does practice mean? You work at it. It just doesn't happen overnight. And I've said this over and over, drumming didn't happen overnight for me. I wanted it so bad when I was 13 and 14. I learned all styles of drumming out there, and I worked at it for years till I could master most of the drummers that were out there. Then I started playing out. Then I started getting into bands. Then they were calling me to drum for them. You see? And now when I came to Christ, God moved all that worldly junk, all that worldly music, all my worldly friend musicians that are still out there doing the same old thing that probably look 20 years older than me, because they tell me, geez, friend, what are you doing, Botox or what? No, actually, I'm doing Bo Jesus. And his last name is Christ. Did I call him? Is Jesus dying? Someone just shut your head. Ah, here you go. Well, they'll leave. Some of us, tell me. I received them in my heart and gave them all Jesus. And they're all tore up because of the lifestyle. Listen, the fame, the glory, all these Hollywood actors we know or probably have favorites, they're tore up, they're hurting, they need Jesus too. They're trusting in the vanity. And guess what? A lot of these people that trust in the riches and the glory of this world, they get to that climax and where they sold millions, and guess what? They get into drugs, they're in prison, they go to jail, they do these evil acts. Why? Because they don't have Christ in their lives, they're empty, and they're filling it with the worldly things, the pride, the glory of the world, the consuming of alcohol and drugs, or vanity itself, and it dries them up. To where some even up in asylum, where there's crazy houses or whatever. They go crazy. They're all strung out. They lose it all. Because they trusted in vain. What did Solomon say? He had everything. Even women, land, money, animals. He had more than any man has ever, more than probably 1,000 times more than Donald Trump, or whatever the richest person that Solomon had it all. And what did he call it? All vanity. It'll dry you up. Christ will fill you up. Trust in Jesus will strengthen you up. But you gotta practice. Some of us are forgetting to work out a little bit for Jesus. You gotta get into that training of everyday seeking him. And applying his word, surrendering, being thankful and obedient, and now practice it. It's time to practice, folks. It's time to put those other things, the worrying. My mom is the biggest worrier. I wish she was here today because she would be like, yeah, you're right. para la noche fue terrible. Biggest worrier, because she was focused in the things that were in front of her and not what was up ahead. Yeah, we were born poor, but they fought, they struggled, her and dad, and got us through. And now she's kind of a nervous wreck. She has nerve issues because she worried. And she tells me, you know, I can't stop this. You get it. And I pray with her, and she's coming around. Now she calls me, hey, son, how are you doing? I'm good, Mom. I feel so relaxed. It's going to be a good day. And the Lord, she tells me that. She's coming around. I'll go visit her once in a while. And her appearance looks at peace now. Because, yeah, she misses dad. 60 years of marriage. The other day, she called me 3 days ago. She wanted to take her life. But you remember what I told about his word. Mom, trust Jesus. The very next day, she sounded like a whole new person. Trusting is hard. Trusting is hard. But we can do it, guys. Worship team, come up.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You